Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Now, here's a conversation that's going to stretch many of our minds. Angels are mentioned more than 300 times in the Bible. It was the angel of the Lord that appeared to Mary to tell her that she would give birth to the Son of God, Jesus. But what about today? Are angels still around? Are they real? Is it just an expression, oh, she's an angel? Or do they really exist? There are lots of myths about angels. Some people picture them as white, winged beings. Others think they are quite passive. Still others say they are very powerful messengers of God. So what do we say? What can we say? Are angels for real? In fact, that's the title of a new book Judith McNutt has written, in which she confronts this perhaps controversial and confusing topic, are angels for real? Judith, welcome to Open House.
Thank you so much. It's a joy to be with you.
Thank you. Judith, your book combines a study of the Bible and angels in the Bible together with real-life experiences. How did you become interested in angels?
You know, that's a really good question. Years ago, when I was very, very young, I started having some experiences that were very confusing in terms of kind of the supernatural realm, I've come to call it. And I just kind of discredited that because there wasn't very many people that I could ask about those experiences, especially in my church. And then later, years later, when I became a psychologist and I was working up in the Boston area, I started talking with people, and I found out that there was quite a few people that had angel experiences. And they were afraid to share them with anyone, especially a psychologist, because they thought that they would be ridiculed, you know, that it was just something of their imagination. And so the more I heard about it, and then I found out in Scripture that angels are mentioned over 300 times, and I started studying the Scriptures about it and found out that not only in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament, there was just all kinds of angel experiences. So I started paying more attention to the stories I was hearing, started doing more study, and ended up feeling like I was supposed to write a book to encourage people. That's why I really wrote the book, to encourage them.
Before we get on to some of those real-life experiences, what do you take from the Bible with the number of references about angels?
What I really came to, and of course this is in Hebrews, it says that angels are really they're created beings created by God, and that they are sent to serve us, to help us in our earthly journey. And I think that's the part that really kind of got me, because they were so active in the time of Jesus, really protecting him and being with him. And then the early church, we see them, you know, in the lives of Peter and Paul and so many others. So I think you can just take from the Scripture that they're wonderful beings of love. They serve God on our behalf.
Because the word angel has its meaning dating back to the Greek of a messenger.
Yes, actually in Greek and in Hebrew, it means messenger. And that's what most people think of if they think of an angel, is bringing a message. But they have so many other purposes. They protect, they shield, they fight for us in the spiritual realm, but they do bring messages too.
Judith, what would you say to the people who would acknowledge the truth and reality of angels in the Bible, but they would say that that was a Bible-specific thing, a defined time only of the biblical narrative? That's when you find angels.
Well, I would say the same thing to that as I would say to someone that said that healing or miracles ended with the last apostle. We see no evidence of that in Scripture, that it was for a certain time frame. And my husband and I, who, you know, have a healing ministry here in Jacksonville, Florida, we've spent 100 years combined trying to return the healing ministry to the church. And I think angels are a part of that. I believe there's a real move by God today to bring back everything that Jesus gave us. Angels and healing and deliverance and all the things. That's the good news in my mind.
How would you define what an angel is and where they come from then?
Well, that's a good question, too. You know, there's no specific book that we can go to other than the Bible to really establish where angels came from. But the Bible does tell us that they rejoiced with God when he created, when he laid the foundations of the earth, is the way the scripture goes. So it seems that angels predate the creation of man and also the creation of the world. So they came from God. They are created beings. And they're not like God in any way. They're just created beings that serve him.
Some people see them as glorified people, humans, after they have died and enter into a heavenly existence.
No, that's not anywhere in Scripture. You know, we hear sometimes a mother or father say, "That's my little angel." You know, I probably said that to my own children at some point. But they're a distinct class of beings separate from humans. And angels never become human, and humans never become angels, even in the afterlife. It's very, very different part of creation.
The image that people have of angels, I think, is one of nice beings or beautiful and kind and angelic, quite literally. But yes. You say they are very powerful as well.
Well, they're incredibly powerful. One of my favorite stories is where John the Baptist's father was in the temple at the time. You know, he was a priest and he was burning the incense before God. And Gabriel appeared to him. And Gabriel is an archangel, which is not one of the highest order of angels, but he's still a very powerful angel. And because Zechariah doubted, really, the word of Gabriel, Gabriel struck him mute. I mean, he couldn't speak until the baby was born. And he said, "I am Gabriel, and I stand in the presence of God. Because you've not believed me, this is what's going to happen to you." You know, so they're not little beings of light kind of floating around like we have them hanging on Christmas trees.
Yes.
They're really powerful beings.
Are there different types of angels?
Yeah, you know, that was one of the things that I loved about the research that I did when I went through the scripture. And, of course, it's also in church tradition all the way back to the year 500, that there's many different types of angels, really classifications. There's the angels of the throne room, which those are the highest order of angels, and they never really leave God's presence. They're always in God's presence. And then you have this whole other classification of angels that they're kind of watching over the universe. They're over physical, the physical world, if you would say that. And then the last order of angels are the ones that watch over humans. They're the archangels and the angels. And we've come to think of those more as guardian angels.
And what's their range of activity? What do they do?
Good question. They do all sorts of things. I mean, they protect us. Psalm 91 says that the angels will lift us up and help us and get us out of trouble, basically. They fight on our behalf. There's the spiritual battle that's going on in the spiritual realm with the fallen angels, as we call them. And they do battle with them. The stories that I've collected, which is probably well over 400 or 500, they do all kinds of things to help people. They intervene if there's an accident to bring help. They protect children. They bring messages, just remarkable duties on our behalf. It's really wonderful.
On Open House, we're with author Judith McNutt, who's written the book Angels Are For Real. So let's get to some of those experiences, Judith. What were some of the early stories that you started to hear that got your mind thinking about this whole question?
Well, I had so many that were turned in that had to do with really people being rescued, you know, in a dangerous situation. I lived in Jerusalem for several years, working there, running a house of prayer. And when I first moved to Israel, I started hearing stories of angelic intervention during the wars, where like the Yom Kippur War, if you're familiar with that.
Yes.
It was in the 70s. And it was a high holy day, of course, and everybody was in synagogues praying, and the country of Israel was kind of attacked from all sides. And the soldiers couldn't get there quickly enough to protect the borders. Yet, when the people advancing on the country to fight them, when they came to the Israeli borders, they saw very large soldiers, shoulder to shoulder, guarding the borders, and said they were huge men. And they had bumper stickers when I first got to Jerusalem, because the war was over by then, and it said, God still fights their battles. And it's like when the Israeli soldiers got to the border, all of them disappeared that were there guarding the borders, and the country was saved from this invasion. And that was one of the most profound ones early on that I heard. And I talked to many soldiers that had experiences through different wars where someone would come up and warn them to move out of the way, like to move their jeep, that a bomb was going to land there. And within moments, a bomb would land there. You know, so I heard stories like this over and over.
So you're saying that there is a physical presence with many angels. This is just not a spiritual thing, that there is a physical presence.
Yes, and that's a very exciting teaching on angels, because we know that angels are they don't have bodies like we have bodies, but they can appear in human form, and they take on any form they want to, any human form that they want to appear to bring a message or to rescue someone. And the interesting thing about those stories is that the moment that their task is completed, their assignment, they disappear. They just vanish in front of the person's eyes and leave. Of course, they leave people very confused when that happens. And so they do take on human form, a man or a woman. I've got stories where some angels took on the form of a child, just any form they want.
What would you say would be two of the most powerful and compelling stories that you collected about people's experiences with angels?
Well, I had one from a young man in India that just came to mind. He was on a bus in India, and the bus was struck by a very large truck head-on, and he was thrown, you know, it didn't have doors. It's kind of like the ones with open doors, and it was a very crowded bus. He was standing holding the rail, and when the bus was rammed by the truck, he was thrown out of the bus and actually rolled under the bus as it was grinding towards this truck, and both the truck and the bus were moving rapidly until it came to a stop. And he knew that he was going to be killed, and he said he cried out to God to save him. And he had been on the bus with his best friend, and his friend saw him fall off the bus and just knew he had been killed. But within an instant, the young man was lifted. He said he was lifted and pulled out from under the bus. And he rose up, kind of lifted up into the air, and then came down on his feet beside the bus. And he didn't have a scratch on him.
Wow.
And his friend ran over to him and, of course, hugged him and said, "How did you do that? And how did you come out from under that bus like that?" And he said, "I didn't do it." He said, "Someone lifted me." And his friend said, "There was no one with you." And then I have another story. It was actually a man that I met in London. And my children and I were in Hyde Park feeding pigeons. And this man who had bred was talking with us, and we called him the Pigeon Man, kind of the Bird Man, because the birds loved him. But he started telling me, I didn't even ask him, he started telling me an angel story of when he was in the war and he was stationed somewhere. It was near, I think it was Malta. And he went out, and he was not a swimmer. He didn't know how to swim, and he was wading out into the water. And suddenly, like a riptide, which we have here in Florida at our beach, came along and sucked him down deeper and deeper, and he couldn't get out. And he said he remembered his grandmother always told him, "If you're ever in trouble, call out Jesus." And so he just called out the name Jesus in his heart. And he said, suddenly someone came up behind him and put their arms around him. And suddenly he was lifted out of the water. Like he said, they shot up out of this really deep place he was in. And then the next moment, he was on the beach, and the person was gone. And his friend that was with him swimming came running over and said, I saw you being pulled out, and I couldn't get to you. He said, the current was too strong. And he said, again, how did you get out of the water? And he said, well, this man pulled me out. And there was his footprints, but no one else's. And his friend said, there was no one with you. So those are two of my favorite ones about kind of being physically rescued.
Stunning. How do we differentiate, Judith, between a feeling and an angel?
Well, some people, you know, I talk about the three ways that angels can appear to us. And, of course, one is in their what I call their invisible form, which would be their spiritual body. And I think when they appear that way, we have a strong sense of God's presence with us and something very holy. And suddenly we feel hope, we feel encouraged, we feel lighter. It's like the whole atmosphere changes when they're around us. And of course, that's their purpose, is to come and bring us hope and encouragement and to help us. So I think sometimes that feeling really can be an angel, but we can't see them with our eyes at that moment.
Are angels something that we could or should pray for, do you think?
Well, you know, Jesus himself said, pray to the Father for him to send angels to help you. And so when we pray for angelic help, especially if we're ministering at a healing service or praying for someone who's very sick, we always pray and ask God the Father to send angels to help us. Or if someone's going on a trip, we always pray, you know, God, send your angels to guard them. Because Jesus says that God is the commander of the angels, basically. And he's the one that gives them their assignments.
Judith McNutt, it's been a very absorbing and thought-provoking conversation. Thank you so much indeed for joining us on Open House.
Thank you. God bless.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology Solutions. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.